Briar Clough, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman. Friday's USDA supply-demand or WASDE report forecast 23-24 corn production at a record 15.3 billion bushels on a yield of 181.5 bushels per acre. Corn ending stocks forecast at 2.22 billion bushels, the largest since 2016-2017. Season average farm price projected at $4.80 a bushel. That's $1.80 lower than the current marketing year. The outlook for soybean production is for higher supplies, higher crush, higher ending stocks as well. Soybean crop projected at 4.51 billion bushels, up 5% on higher yields and slightly higher acreage. Ending stocks projected at 335 million bushels. Season average farm price expected at $12.10 a bushel, down from $14.20 this year. Wheat was the big surprise, though, in Friday's supply-demand report. USDA saw wheat ending stocks the lowest in 16 years at 556 million bushels. All wheat production expected to be around 1.66 billion bushels on increased harvested area and an average yield of 44.7 bushels per acre. Season average farm gate price for wheat, $8 a bushel, down 85 cents. Well, after the supply-demand report, StoneX chief commodities economist Arlen Suderman says the wheat market should see a gradual increase.
The long-term impact is the market's going to be supportive of wheat generally. Doesn't mean it's going to go up every day, but traders are going to be much more resistant to being short or sold the wheat market with these tighter supplies, not just domestically, but globally. We're tightening the availability of quality milling wheat. That means we'll be feeding less wheat on the world market as well. So that'll help support corn market overall and maybe reduce the amount of downside price risk that we have. We can still go down in corn, but maybe by not so much as what we would otherwise if we had big wheat supplies.
And Suderman says weather and trade relations will determine the direction that commodity prices go.
Around the world, weather patterns, and we're moving into an El Nino pattern, which tends to be favorable for production in North and South America. And what are relations with the U.S. and China going to be, and how is that going to hurt our ability to export to China? Those are going to be the primary factors affecting us, with greater downside risk than upside risk for corn and soybeans, and greater upside risk than downside risk for wheat based on these numbers.
U.S. Commodities President Don Rose calls Kansas City wheat the winner in Friday's reports.
Put in perspective, the wheat stocks for this next year are the tightest since 2007-2008, and so got to keep that wheat out of the feed ration, and so it's up, went out big, up over 38 cents here at the end of the day. So it's the start of the season for next year, and we'll see if we hit all these numbers.
And Rose says this is just a starting point for the new crop.
You know, the government certainly threw everything out under good conditions. We're going to get all those acres that they said in March. They said we're getting this big yield on corn and soybeans. It's an El Nino year, so it's possible. But we also have dry drought conditions in Kansas yet, and some of those other areas could prevent plant going there. And then, of course, the northern plains, we've got issues also, you know. So it's still a foot race, and I think the question mark is this going to be the most bearish report of the year, or can we build on it? Or does the yield and could the acres change a little bit?
South Dakota's winter wheat crop forecast at 34.5 million bushels, down 9% from last year, according to USDA's National Ag Statistics Service. South Dakota's average yield is forecast at 46 bushels per acre, with harvested area at 750,000 acres. North Dakota's winter wheat crop forecast at 5.94 million bushels. That's 4% more than last year, according to the Ag Statistics Service. North Dakota's average yield is forecast at 54 bushels per acre, with harvested area at 110,000. That's 15,000 more acres than last year. Don't forget, you can get the latest news, weather, anytime by listening to the Red River Farm Network podcasts. You can find that at rrfn.com and most anywhere you get your podcasts. This is the Red River Farm Network. National Pork Producers Council expressing disappointment with the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling that upheld California's Proposition 12, setting new animal welfare standards for meat sold in California. National Pork Producers Council CEO Brian Humphreys says that the outcome wouldn't just hurt pork producers in an already difficult time for the industry.
We hope for a different outcome for the consumers of California and a recognition of the burden that this is going to place on them. But ultimately, we have to remember that the court ruling is the end of our case as we move forward. But let's be honest with each other as we're on this call that the industry is in a tough time and that this ruling comes at a difficult for our industry where we are facing high input costs and some of the most challenging economic times in the pork industry has seen in 20 years. And so it's not only a difficult ruling, it's a difficult time for our industry to navigate through this.
And National Pork's chief legal strategist, Michael Formica, said the most difficult hurdle in the case may have been the political aspects.
We have been fighting Prop 12 here for going on 4 years, 4 or 5 years. It's been a hard-fought battle. Perhaps what's most disappointing is that a majority of the Supreme Court agreed with us that Prop 12 is causing or will cause a significant harm to interstate commerce, especially to the U.S. pork industry. A majority of the court also agreed that this ultimately is a political issue, that judges are not equipped to judge and make the determination and balance the competing interests that are at play when one state decides to reach outside its borders and regulate activity in another state.
Cattle prices remaining strong going into spring. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has that story.
Cattle markets continue to see strength after backing off of some recent record highs. Perham Stockyards owner Mitch Bartle says he expects this upswing to continue.
This cattle market has caught fire and has been very, very strong the last 60 to 90 days. Looks like it could move higher. Looks like a very good fall calf market. The yearlings are selling very well. These fat cattle have reached over all-time highs, have dipped back some, but expecting a real good fat cattle market and a feeder cattle market, and that'll feed into our other cattle markets such as cold cows and cow-calf pairs and bred cows. So all looks very, very good for the future here. We should have a good calf market at least for 2 years, hopefully into 3 and 4 and 5 years. These calf markets should remain very, very strong outside of some black swan event.
Bartle says weather and corn markets will continue to impact cattle herd rebuilding across the country.
Definitely the low cattle numbers are due to the droughts we've had in the northern plains a couple years ago into the southern plains as of recent. Some pretty big cattle states have been hit hard with drought and certainly has made the numbers certainly shrink in this corn market, drive higher, and I think they feed into one and the same. You get a higher corn market, you get less pounds on your fed cattle, and less cows around because there's less grass and feed is high.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
While Minnesota also has passed their omnibus ag bill, there are still possible agriculture implications moving through other committees. Minnesota Farm Bureau President Dan Glassing says keep an eye on that environmental bill.
It's pretty fluid here in conference committee, but some of the things would be there's a treated seed provision in that one that would kind of dictate what you can do with it and a long-term study as well in the environment bill. We're concerned with that drainage portal where basically the public would be able to look up any drainage system that you have on your farm and where those outlets are and things of that nature. Well, that's a private property issue and it's a privacy thing as well.
Glassing says that it's hard to speculate what could happen at this point.
The ban on wolf depredation is in there and we're hoping that can come out. Like I said, it's so fluid right now. I'd hate to say, yes, it's going to be in there or no, it's not. But those are some of the things that we're kind of watching as this makes its way through. And, you know, we'll know a whole lot more here by next week at this time.
According to the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, combine harvester sales grew in the U.S. and Canada. While tractor sales fell below their five-year average, total U.S. tractor sales in the U.S. decreased by 16% in April, with unit sales in the four-wheel drive segment increasing 54%. This is the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Fertilizer should be applied within 10 days of planting. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has that story.
Planting's off to a slow start for the year. NDSU Extension soil specialist Dave Franzen says fertilizer plans need to adapt with planting dates.
So a lot of people, the people that are not no-till, they're used to putting the fertilizer on and then incorporating it to a certain depth and then planting after that. But with the speed of the planting season, and we're almost halfway into May, maybe halfway into May, that, you know, getting the seed in the ground is most important. So I think the thing that changes from year to year around here is just the ability to do that or just put it on the surface. And I don't really get too upset or concerned that fertilizer is being put on the surface unless it's really near a sensitive waterway. Then I kind of wonder about that. And people should be knifing it in or something at that point.
Franzen says there's been a big shift from urea to anhydrous ammonia due to prices.
The other thing that's weird about this year is that anhydrous ammonia and urea, the cost of the nitrogen in it is really, really close, if not the same. So there is quite a bit of shift this year from anhydrous ammonia to urea just because the cost of the urea is not much different or not different at all than anhydrous. And so why go through all the hassle of the anhydrous when you can have urea put on or put it on yourself and you're done?
Reporting Agriculture's Business. I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Tunisia is expected to have a disastrous durum wheat crop due to drought. The purchase price of the grain will increase while production is expected to decline from 750,000 metric tons to around 250,000 metric tons. Checking markets before we leave you this morning, we're seeing wheat in Minneapolis 17 cents higher on the July. At 863 and a quarter, September's up 17. Chicago July wheat 14 and a half higher at 649 and a half. Kansas City July wheat's up 24 and three quarters at 901 and three quarters. July corn 4 cents higher at 590 and a quarter. December is down a quarter penny at 508 and a half. July soybeans 11 cents higher at 1401. November soybeans 5 and a half higher at 1229 and a quarter. And in Winnipeg, July canola is trading $3.40 a metric ton higher, $716.30 Canadian. On the farm calendar, the North Dakota State University NDSU Animal Science is hosting its Beef Field Day. That's next week, coming up on May 24th. It'll be at the NDSU Beef Cattle Research Complex and the NDSU Beef Unit. U.S. Meat Export Federation meeting in Minneapolis for their spring conference. That runs May 24th through the 26th. Well, thanks for joining us. Have a good day. This is the Red River Farm Network.